chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. And so today we're going to look at deliver us, deliver us. I'm going to warn you today right off the bat, we're going to do a lot of scripture hopping today. We're going to go to a lot of different passages. So you're welcome to flip through in your Bible. I'll try to give you a warning ahead of time, but most of the passages should also be on the screen, so you're welcome just to follow along there as well. But some that we probably don't talk about a lot in church necessarily is this whole idea of evil. We may talk about sin and falling down, stuff like that, but we rarely seem to talk about evil. And so today we're going to look at that idea and what that is about and how we are to be battling against that with the Lord's help. Let's look together in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 13. You guys, I know, are so familiar with this passage. I just hope that now it has a whole new meaning for you after we've been through for these couple months in the Lord's Prayer. It's been such an encouragement to me. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says this: "And after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Hopefully you've been encouraged. Even on Wednesday nights, we've been kind of doubling down on what we've been talking about. And I think that the Lord has really been using that to impress some things upon me, encourage me. I thought I'd start off with this. It's slightly funny, especially if those of you are tied down. Anybody bound to your electronic devices in here? Come on now. This is from Gusty Chartrand. It says, "As a teacher, I've overheard a lot of interesting things from my students. For instance, when Andrew, age 5 and very much into computers, was saying the Lord's Prayer, he did really well till the very end when he said, 'And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email.'" See, Rick, it's all about timing, right? And I don't have it, so there you go. Today we're going to look about this idea of delivering from evil. If you would, first off, we're going to jump to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. And I want to encourage you first about this truth. This is an awesome truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, and the scripture says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." As you read the Lord's Prayer today, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Very literally, it is deliver us from the evil, which implies the devil. Okay? Here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes this amazing truth that we have a guardian and a protector. And what I want to remind you of today is that the devil, or evil, and God are not on the same level. This is not like the force in Star Wars that so many of you are about to see, where there's two things that are battling and they're about equal presence. This is God, and this is the devil. And if the Lord says he will deliver, he will deliver. The end of Satan is sure. It's written out very clearly. It will come to pass. So be encouraged in that. That when we face things that we are really scared about, and we face things that maybe even are evil in our life, we have this incredible encouragement that if we take our burden to the Lord, that he will deliver us from our fear. David says in Psalm, I think 32, "I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." You serve a Lord today that is a deliverer. And he's proved it over and over again. And even in 2 Thessalonians, he has promised it to you. All right, again, the idea here is not deliver me from evil, but deliver us from evil. Do I have to go over this again?
We've been doing this every week, haven't we? Because it's so important, all right? The Lord's Prayer never says me, never says my, never says I. It says us and our.
We're in this together. I hope that you are praying for one another. It's been so good on Wednesday nights to share each other's hopes and concerns and burdens, and then the rest of the week kind of check in with people. How's this going? I remember you talked about that. How's that going? The Lord's Prayer is such a reminder that we're in it together. And even as we face evil, we don't face it alone. Hello? Are you with me? When some of us will have a great fear at some times, you're not alone. Anybody afraid today? Don't raise your hand. You ever get a little bit worried about what tomorrow's got in store and how this is going to work out and how this is going to come to pass? You don't have to be alone. You don't have to fight your fear alone. That's why what we have here is so amazing. One of the things I thought about this week, I was talking to a lady at work, and she's like, "Well, I don't really like those great big churches," which I think great big churches are doing great big things, and I think that's awesome. But something that we have that some churches don't have is we have an opportunity to offer family. And that's pretty cool. We are not in this alone. Again, I encourage you today as you think about the Lord's Prayer, and even today as you think about deliver us from evil, be mindful of the fact it's not a me thing. It's an us thing. The body of Christ praying for the whole. The communion of the saints praying for victory in the midst of turmoil. A lot of times in America, we're a selfish lot. We pray that God would protect me, deliver me, help me. But we've also got to be mindful to pray that God would protect us and deliver us and help us. And of course, our hope is that when the Lord's kingdom does come, we will see deliverance. And the Lord's Prayer reminds us to be kingdom-minded, be about the kingdom. Another way to put it is we pray to be delivered, not that we would have it easy, but that he would receive glory. Hello, can you identify with that? I think you about got that as we've been going through this whole thing, right? His name, his kingdom, his will. That's how the Lord's Prayer starts. So when we're praying for deliverance, it's not just, Lord, give me an easy way. Give me plenty of money and a cushy life. What we're praying for, Lord, is help me through this so that I can be of best service to you. And sometimes the through this is, means going through difficult things, and then the Lord turns that around. And have you ever been helped by someone who's been through a difficult time? It can be really encouraging. My brother, in kind of a similar way, he was talking about his own son, Mason. I think Mason's, what, maybe 11 or so right now? Maybe a little older than that, not much. And he said that every night he goes to bed, and Mason will pop up out of the bed, sit up in bed, and he'll say, Daddy, I love you. And like every night he knows that he means it. And what Tyler was saying is that, well, the most successful people on the earth are those that can love with all their heart and make a difference through their love. And he says, I think my son is going to be one of the most successful people that ever was. Right? Again, the idea that we need to give our lives to God in service for his glory. And I guarantee you that Mason is going to be an amazing, he already is an amazing kid. He's going to be an amazing person. All right. Think again as you work through these things. You're going to go through some difficult days, but the Lord can use those for his glory. And let the Lord use those for his glory. 1 Chronicles 16:35, again, some Old Testament passages remind us of the same truth that the Lord's Prayer gives us. And the chronicler writes, cry out and save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Is that exactly the same meaning, right? Deliver us, why? So that we can praise you. So let's think about that even on a corporate level here as a church, right? We pray that God would work us, walk us through things, and that ultimately he would deliver us, not so that we could have a name out there and people would know who CrossLife is, but so that God's name would be out there, right? And that's what we're about. The same idea there. Psalm 79, also very clearly, the same picture. The psalmist writes, help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. What is it about? Is it about my name becoming great, your name becoming great? It's about his name and his glory. And guess what? As we walk in that, the Lord does deliver. That's why we tell those stories, all those Old Testament stories, and that's why we should tell stories in our own life. Has the Lord ever delivered any of you today? Ever walked you through a difficult situation? Ever helped you through a time where you thought you weren't going to make it? Hallelujah, right? That's why we share those stories. Share those stories with your kids. Share those stories with your family. Share those stories with your neighbors. And please, share those stories with your church family. Because they encourage us that the Lord does deliver, and he does, for his glory. Now we're going to kind of switch gears here a little bit this morning, and this is, I don't intend to heighten anyone's fears, but I want you to be aware of the reality of spiritual evil. And the first thing I want to show you is a reminder that evil doesn't always show itself the way that we think it does. Most of us, if we were looking for the devil, we'd probably be looking for some evil being in a red suit with pointy horns, right? Yeah, that's not how the devil works. Actually, you know what the devil does? We'll look at this in just a second. He masquerades as what? An angel of light. The devil looks good. Think about that for a second. C.S. Lewis wrote this quote. This is amazing. The greatest evil is not done in those sordid dens of crime that Charles Dickens loved to paint. It is conceived and, look at this, moved, seconded, and carried, and minuted in clean, carpeted, warmed, and well-lit offices by quiet men with white collars and cut fingernails and smooth-shaven cheeks who do not need to raise their voices. Can I read that to you again? Think about it for a second. The greatest evil is not done in those sordid dens of crime that Dickens loved to paint. It is conceived and moved and seconded and carried like a business meeting, minuted, in clean, carpeted, warmed, and well-lit offices by quiet men with white collars and cut fingernails and smooth-shaven cheeks who do not need to raise their voices. What does that mean? Sometimes evil is in policy. Okay, we're not going to go down the whole politics road. You guys know I'm not a politician of any means. But I want you to think about businesses, even churches that carry business meetings that may fail to do things that are for God's glory. How can we fight against injustice? Sometimes we can fight in places just like that. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to go to the jail and the prison. That's where I like to be, and that's a dark place. But guess what? Some very dark places, Christians need to invade with legal knowledge and a heart of justice that seeks justice, that God be glorified. Amen? Yeah. Because people for thousands of years have been writing policy and legislating evil. That's why God is so much about the poor and the orphan and the brokenhearted. And that's who we need to make sure that we are not neglecting in whatever kind of business that we're doing. All right, be challenged by that. Today, there's all kinds of evil, but if you will, the evil one, as we see in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil, is behind it all. Again, the idea here is literally the evil one. So I want to give you a few characteristics about the devil, just so you're mindful of that. And these are not my ideas. These are straight from the Scripture, okay? The first one, Brother Michael mentioned on Wednesday night to us as a reminder from 1 Peter, that the devil seeks to devour. Again, I remind you today, I mean, I had a really good friend of mine that we were doing ministry together, and he said that until he had been part of this ministry team, he was actually in a church, but until he'd been part of that team, he didn't believe the devil was a real being. And then after working and being around and working in prisons and working through the Scriptures, he began to realize, wait a minute, this is absolutely true. There really is an angel who's named Lucifer, who's named Satan, who is the devil. The devil would desire to devour. I've been saying a lot lately that God does not want to push you down. God is not trying to hurt you or harm you or make you fall. But guess what? The devil is. He absolutely is. We saw that he would try to tempt Jesus. We even saw the way that he spoke to God in the book of Job, right? And what I would also remind you, we talked about Wednesday night, the way he tried to sift Peter. He was hoping he could take out Peter, one of the greatest apostles. The devil was out to get him. I'm going to share with you today that really and truly, evil would love to see you fall. God is not after that, but the devil definitely is. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I don't want you to be scared. That's the whole point of the message today. I don't want you to be looking around every corner and thinking, oh no, the devil's going to get me. That's not what I'm after today. What I want you to be mindful of is that the devil, if you are trying to seek after God and pursue Christ, he would like to take you out. Now, if you are easily distracted and, you know, you're not really pursuing Christ today, then guess what? You're probably going to not have too much problems from the devil. You may have some of the unjust rain that falls, like we know that everybody has a bad day, that kind of thing. But it's actually a spiritual battle coming against you. If you're not pursuing Christ, you're kind of already, he's already got you on his team, believe it or not. Because if you are disinterested, that's what he would love. Again, what we're talking about here is the gospel, people. We're talking about eternity and the reality of eternity. Is there really life after death? Is there really a life with Christ once we pass away? And definitely the Scripture says there is. And the devil doesn't want you to believe that. He hopes that you're disinterested. He hopes that you don't even believe in him literally, right? Because then he wins. Very easy for his part. Second thing about the devil today. Not only does he seek to devour, he desires to blind people from the gospel. The devil loves it when people don't get it, when they don't hear the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, that is the devil, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil is actively trying to hide the gospel from people. That means we need to be active in delivering and showing the gospel and praying that God will open the eyes, right? In that respect, we are in a battle. Who this week can you love and serve and speak truth to in a humble way, in a kind way, that they would know that God loves them and he came and died to redeem them and reconcile them so that they could find healing and actually have hope for eternity? Who's that person in your life? I guarantee you, everybody in this room today, there's a person in your life this week that you can love and serve and share the gospel with. Pray about that, even there as you're sitting there today. Another passage with the same idea, Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has sown in their heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. Remember Jesus telling the parable of the sower? Even in the parable, Jesus speaks clearly about the work of the devil and how he would love to blind people. It's just like the seed sown along the path. It doesn't take very long, and it's disappeared. It's taken away, snatched away. And the devil loves to do that. He desires to blind people from the gospel. Another characteristic of Satan, he incites believers to sin. Here's what we saw last week. God will not tempt you, right? God is not tempting you. God does not want you to fall. We've got to correct that idea. There's so many people out there, I think, that they think that God is trying to knock them down. He's trying to tease and tempt them. That's not God. God does not tempt you, but the devil definitely will. He absolutely will. In 1 Chronicles 21:1, the scripture says that Satan rose up against Israel, and he incited David to take a census of Israel. Why would taking a census be a sin, right? Because when I knew exactly how many soldiers I really had and how powerful I really was, that might give me pride in myself rather than trusting in my God. And that's exactly what the devil hoped to accomplish. And that's what he did accomplish to some degree when David said, I'm going to see how many soldiers I really have. Here's the one we talked about just a minute ago. That is that the devil masquerades. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. The scripture says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I'm not going to pull up the whole song for you today, but there's a song I love by Andy Gullihorn. It says, If I Were. And he speaks the whole truth that if I were the devil, I wouldn't wear red, I wouldn't have horns or a pitchfork. I wouldn't breathe fire because it might give me away. The devil will definitely appear as good if it will detract you from the good that is serving the Lord. You don't believe that, do you? Hello? Did you hear what I said? The devil sometimes will appear as good if that good will detract you from pursuing and seeking Christ. There's a lot of people in this world that are pursuing a good that is not a good that glorifies God. But as the world looks at it, it's good. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. He will make something look good that is not good in order that he might steal you away. Well, here's what the devil really is. And again, not my words, the words of Jesus. He is a murderer and a liar. Now, there's a song going around lately that the devil is a lie. I'm going to tell you, the devil's not a lie. And I heard this from someone else. The devil is a liar. He's very real. Look at this in John 8:44. Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's his native tongue. Don't you like that? What a descriptive word that Jesus uses about the devil. He just speaks in lies because that's his native tongue. Even when we saw the devil tempting Jesus, he tried, again, masquerading as an angel of light. He tried to use the scriptures against the Son of God, right? Well, Jesus, doesn't the scripture say that if you jump down that your angels, the Father's angels, will catch you? That's what the scripture says, right? Again, masquerading as this angel of light, speaking out this truth. Oh, just prove us who you really are. Jesus says he's a liar. He's a murderer. I want you to be careful today. I'm not trying to scare you again, but I also don't want us to ever really even be like, this is not something that you just kind of flippantly, oh, whatever, you know, throw to the side. You follow what I'm saying? If you were going to fight someone, you would want to know their strengths and their weaknesses, and you would hope that you would have the strength to match or battle them, right? And I try to think of it to this weekend. I couldn't come up with the right word. So I'm going to share this, but you guys can help me with the right word later on. In some respect, you need to have a respect for the power of the devil. I don't want you to say that we need to respect the devil in a sense, okay? You follow what I'm saying? But you need to respect his power. Just like you would respect the fire on a stove, okay? Or even in a fireplace. Just like you would respect the power that runs through an electrical wire. You know what I'm saying? Like you would respect a king cobra if you were coming across your path. I say some of you wouldn't respect it. You would be gone, right? But you know what that lies within that beast or that animal or in that line, and so you respect that. The devil is, in that respect, that sense, something that we should respect. It's not something we just, I don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Man, the devil is a murderer, and he's a liar, and he's a blinder of people, and he would love to cut you off from your relationship to Christ. Nothing would make him happier. So we need to be mindful of that as we deal with the father of lies, if you will. So here's where we're going to go and kind of finish today. And I'm not keeping you too long today, but I want you to just kind of to think about these things briefly. So we have a responsibility. Now, our responsibility begins with this truth here. Lord, deliver us from evil. We need to pray. And how often are we praying? Give us our what kind of bread? Daily bread. We're praying the Lord's Prayer daily. Daily, we're asking the Lord to deliver us from evil. The Lord can. And so we ask for his protection, his guidance, and as any kind of spiritual angst or evil would come our way, that we would have his deliverance in that situation. But what I want you to be careful of, we talked again about this a little bit this morning, is sometimes some people will just say, well, I'll just pray about it, and I'm going to leave it alone there. Okay? And what I want to remind you today is that sometimes you need to act. You pray and act. Are you with me? But sometimes I think we just sit around praying and we expect, well, we're just going to pray and that will take care of everything. And sometimes the Lord says, okay, you have prayed. Now here's what I want you to do in obedience and response to me. And so a couple passages that help us with this truth. The first one is also in James chapter 4, verse 7. As we see that the devil would be attacking, James says in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you guys deal with temptation? Any flirters in here? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, let's say that this here is the line for temptation. Where do you like to be in relation to that line? Like this? Or like this? You know what I'm saying? Is this resisting the devil? No, this is just begging for trouble. Whatever your temptation is, everybody in here has different ones. What I'm reminding you of today is, Scripture says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. So as you come towards temptation, whatever that temptation may be, don't flirt with the line. You run away from that and run towards the Lord. That's what it means to submit yourself to him. So you're going to pray, yes, absolutely. And you're going to pray us. You're going to pray for us. Remember, it's a together thing. Because I may need to pray for Wendy as she's trying to resist a fear that she has. Or I pray for Megan as she tries to resist a fear that she has. But at the same time, I have some responsibility too, don't I? And that is, I'm going to push back against temptation. I'm going to push back against the devil. I'm going to resist. And what is an awesome truth? Did you hear that? And James, what did he say? Resist the devil, and what will happen? And he will flee. Why is that? Because God is in control. Because where we started, the Lord is able to deliver. If you will resist the devil and trust the Lord, he will deliver. Guaranteed. That's not me saying that. That's the scripture. But if you're going to kind of like, well, this isn't so bad, or, oh, you know, I can get permission rather than forgiveness, you know, or whatever, vice versa, right? I think I'll just get kind of close, but I won't go all the way, whatever all the way is and what you're thinking about. Is the devil going to flee from you? He's going to stick to you like white on rice, isn't he? He is going to be on you because he knows that you're this close. You're so close. Again, James says, resist and he will flee. I encourage you in that. And the second one today that I wanted to share with you, that was an encouragement to me. And that is to be angry and sin not. What are you talking about, preacher? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Paul writes, in your anger, do not sin.
Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Did you catch that little part there? We don't probably talk about that one so much. But that first part, we talk about a lot, right? You probably heard, maybe even your grandparents said, well, the thing that helped our marriage so much is that we never went to bed angry. That's not true, is it? Maybe it was for some people, right? What is the point here? First off, I would have you know it's kind of interesting that you can be angry and not sin. I think next week we'll see this in the book of John with Jesus, right? When he was in the temple, he turns over the tables. Is that anger? Definitely. Anger displayed. But did Jesus sin? No. So there can be an appropriate means to express your anger and not be sinful. But what Paul is encouraging in the church here is to be careful of that anger sometimes wells up in you and it can cause you to sin. So be angry, but don't sin. And so his encouragement is, don't let the sun set, because what happens if that anger is in your heart and you let it set night after night, that anger begins to harden things up, doesn't it? And what I've been learning, I've been doing some different listening and studying a little bit, the anger is a source of a lot of our issues. You're going to probably think this is crazy, but I've heard that pornography is one of the effects of anger in a heart. Isn't that interesting that those things would be tied together? A lot of your addictions, not just that, are tied to anger in a person's heart. As we go through our series this January and February, we're going to be looking at that in a lot more depth, a lot more detail. But when you let anger get down there deep and it just festers and it grows, then it can really, what can it do? What's verse 27 say? Give the devil a foothold. What is a foothold? What I think of, and this may not be the right idea, but you know when the salesman comes to your door and then you open the door and he just slides his foot just right in enough that when you try to slam the door, it doesn't shut, right? All it needs is to be enough for the width of his foot, right? That's all it's got to be, and the door doesn't shut. All the devil is looking for you is a maybe, or even just not a no. You hear what I'm saying? Are you going to do this? Well, he didn't say no. I just got a foothold. Because if I say no, that is resisting the devil. And if I resist the devil, what's the scripture say is going to happen? He's going to flee. But if I don't say no, I'm kind of like, I'll think about it, or I'll just ignore it for now. Guess what? Creak, the door's opening up. The devil has a way in. So again today, what I encourage you, not just pray, Lord, deliver us, but also to resist the devil. And to be angry and sin not, that you would not give the devil a foothold. Well, let me give you a scripture that's probably one of the most encouraging of all the scriptures in my own life that I love. That's 2 Corinthians 1:9. Now, this is probably the first lesson I think that we did on Wednesday night when I came here. And Paul writes there, he says, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. You mean Paul felt like that he was going to die, that things were that bad? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Hallelujah, right? The whole point that we have to deal and work through free will and temptation and evil is that we would trust in God. And our God is the kind of God who delivers the dead. Verse 10, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. You catch that? Deliver us. Paul is being delivered by the prayers of the saints. Sindhu and many could be encouraged by the prayers of the saints. There is somebody speaking today, probably in North Africa or in Saudi Arabia or in Syria, who needs the prayers of the saints for their deliverance. Are you praying for the people that the Lord puts in your heart and your path? Deliver us. And I don't mean to minimize that we need deliverance right here in good old US of A. But guys, we got brothers and sisters who are fighting a spiritual battle and the devil is physically attacking them. And they need people to pray for them that God would come and intercede on their behalf. So let the Lord challenge your heart about that. Then he says, verse 11, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Could you imagine the testimony service when Paul got back after the shipwreck? Could you imagine the testimony service the day that he came back after people thought that they had stoned him and left him for dead? What would that church day be like? He's alive. We thought you were killed. No, the Lord delivered. Wow. You guys, believe it or not, there's some stories similar to that right in these pews where God has showed himself strong. And we just need to share them and be encouraged in that. Please don't hesitate to share your story. All right. We need to pray, deliver us. Even when we think everything is okay, it's not okay for everyone. And if the truth be known, apathy may be right around the corner for our own hearts. Deliver us is a reminder to be watchful, to be on guard. Remember that we are strangers and aliens and sojourners and pilgrims in this world. That's the hardest one for me. I get attached. Anybody else get attached? Anybody else like your couch and your oven and your air conditioning and your indoor plumbing? Anybody else like your frozen pizzas? Anybody else like just sitting and watching a good movie and staying warm and cuddle it up to your spouse? Sometimes we get real attached to this world, don't we? And this is a reminder again that this ain't it. Man, the devil would love to see us fall. Ultimately, we have to look to the end of the story. We only see such a small snippet sometimes. Again, I say over and over, this is not it. The scripture is telling us, even the Lord's Prayer is reminding you and I today that we don't just live for today, but we live for his kingdom, his will, and the hallowing of his name. He is your Father, and he loves you. That's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. That's good, isn't it? The first thing that you can be reminded of when you go to the Lord in prayer, that he is your Father, and he loves you. What are you scared about today? Take it to your Father. It's so interesting. I love to talk to my cousin Sarah. I hope to get her here someday. She is works for English Language Institute in China and serves through that ministry. And she always is referring to the Father. And people around her begin to really grab hold of that. And that's that same idea here, right from the get-go. The devil will win whenever he can take your eyes off of Christ. And whether that's through an intense physical persecution that we saw last week, or simply through a worry or a distraction, he wins. I should have put that up there. Did you catch that? Whether that's through an intense physical persecution or simply through a distraction, if your eyes are off Christ, the devil wins. But I'm encouraging you today, pursue Christ each day. If you pursue Christ each day, you win. Christ wins, and the devil hates it. That's what I want to be about. All you got's today anyways, right? Pursue the Lord today. So today, this day, choose to pursue Christ. Choose faith over fear. Choose the faith that God will ultimately prevail over the fear that you can't see where all this is headed. Choose the faith that what you are doing has eternal significance over the fear of losing some material gain on this earth. Live by faith and not by fear. The devil will hammer at your fears, but the Lord will increase your faith. Trust him. That's the battle. That is definitely the battle for most of us today. Is it going to be faith or fear? When Wendy and I had moved over here from Southern Illinois, I thought I was moving from the little small hick town to the big city, so the money is going to be a lot better over here. We both moved over here. We made about half what we made when we were over there. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. And the fear started kicking in. First, there was a fear of not letting people know my situation. And I'd go into the jail, and I'd see these guys really increasing in their faith, and then the whole time thinking, I was supposed to come here to help them, and now I'm realizing what a mess I am trying to hide so people don't know what state I'm in. My own arrogance was really coming out in my own life. The Lord began to humble me and push me down, and I had to get to a place. I was like, am I going to choose faith, or am I just going to sit here and worry and get lost in this worry and be of no use to God because of it? And so I started praying. And guess what happened when I started praying? The Lord delivered. What? Yeah. I was obedient. I mean, I did my work, and I went to my interviews, and I tried to follow the right steps that way. Okay, I didn't just sit back and wait for something to happen, but I definitely got on my knees and said, Lord, I need help because I'm afraid. Will you deliver? And the Lord took care of us because that's what he does. Where's your fear and faith meter at today? Are you a little more worried about something and it's keeping you distracted from doing what the Lord wants you to do? Or have you got up today and you said, this day I'm going to pursue Christ? Well, this is my last story, you guys, and I'll be quiet for today. But I want you to think more again about this idea of faith and fear. I shared some of this with you before, some of you before, but just so you're aware, everybody's aware. Wendy and I got an opportunity to go on a mission trip with what's called E-Team. What Isaiah did last year, he got to go to Japan, and this year he'll get actually go to Cuba. Well, Wendy and I, we had to go to the rough place of St. Croix, Virgin Islands. That's mission work, isn't it? I'm sure people think that way, right? We actually did some pretty intense work for us, because I'm not any kind of craftsman or whatever, but we were stripping floors and knocking off tiles and painting, and it was a lot of work for us that we did. But up to that point, like about in October, before we were to go and leave, probably about this time of year, before we were to leave the next summer, I began to have this fear that something good or something bad was not going to happen. Something not good was going to occur during that trip. And so, and I'm not a worrier. You guys know that. It's like, usually I don't care, you know. But I started kind of like, ugh, this doesn't really feel good. And then we got to our team training there in Nashville in the very beginning of June. And I even shared with James Evans, who's one of the guys that was helping us to get prepared. I was like, James, man, I'm just scared that something really not good is going to happen. And so James just kind of prayed with me and kind of let it go, and we went on the trip. Well, what we did that summer, and I will never, ever forget this or regret it at all anyway, is we took our kids. We had, I think, eight teens with us, and we took them all through the Lord's Prayer. So we had this really neat opportunity that we'd work every day, then we'd go do something a little fun, and then we'd come together at night, and we would study together, usually for an hour or so. And so every night, we were just working through the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we had a couple girls could play guitar, and we had some great worship time. And Isaiah and Brooklyn were with us. Of course, they were a lot littler, a lot smaller then. And then we got to the night that was deliver us from evil. And that night, Hannah, who was one of the guitar players, was kind of playing songs, and she was absolutely positive. They were staying in the church, kind of in the back old sanctuary. She was absolutely positive that there was someone else in the building, but she couldn't find him. And she was scared. Right? And Jamie also had some fears. My daughter, Brooklyn, that night, she had a dream that I was going to die. You think the fear meter started going up? Like just one person having one thing, okay, but when you have this other stuff going on. And I had been reading the last couple days before that time. I knew we were going to have this opportunity to go to this place called Buck Island. It's a natural reef, like I think of Finding Nemo you get to see it. It's just that kind of place. It's like, oh, this is going to be awesome, you know. And then as we're getting closer, I was reading different scriptures, and like one of the scriptures that sticks out in my mind that I read was something about that there will be blood on the water. And I was just like, is that like an airplane crash, or is that somebody getting, you know, bit by a shark? You know, the stuff, how your mind can start working, right? And so Kent Nelson was the pastor of this church at St. Croix, and one night we sat down. I was like, Kent, man, I don't even know. I don't know if we should go. He's like, what? Like, Travis, this is Buck Island. I mean, this is a really great opportunity for your students. I mean, they won't get this chance again. I'm like, yeah, Ken, I don't know. I'm just, like, really scared. These kids were all afraid, and they were having these dreams and been reading this stuff. And Kent shared with me something that really surprised me. I had no clue. You guys might really understand, but did you know there was actually a strong population of St. Croix that were, they would do voodoo, like witchcraft. And some of them had kind of syncretized Christianity with spiritism and stuff like that. He's like, Travis, there's a lot of things going on this island that you would be surprised to know about. Well, Kent prayed with me, and he was amazing. He's just, since that moment, I've had such great respect for him. And then the next day, after I kind of could settle, the Lord taught me this lesson. This is what I want to share with you today. The lesson was this: don't ever do anything just out of fear. Do it out of faith. What do you think about that? The whole reason I wasn't going to go is because I was afraid of what might happen, what could possibly happen. I was just like, oh, overwhelmed and all this stuff. But I had never had any confirmation that it was the Lord saying to me, don't do this. It was all just my fear. And my fear was winning. And that after that night and some rest and the prayer, I think the prayer of us all, praying the Lord's Prayer like this, the Lord calmed my spirit, and I realized that we would actually go in faith, because the Lord didn't tell us that we shouldn't go. And so now I'm not going to have you get me wrong here. I was still looking over my shoulder, right? Brooklyn and I were in 40 foot of water without life jackets. But it's interesting that salt water, you kind of float like amazing anyway. But when we were swimming, and we had like one of the best days of my life was that day. And the reason was that I chose faith over fear. How about you today? Is there a constant, a nagging worry that's on your heart? Even now, there's something that just keeps pestering you. You're like, oh, how's this going to work out? I don't know how it's going to happen. And it's like, sometimes it's all you can think about. I know I need to be more eternally minded, but I can't get past this because I'm afraid. Well, here's the Lord's prayer for you today, right? Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us. Deliver us from evil. And ultimately, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's next week. Today, I don't know where you're at, but if your fear is beating your faith, I'd encourage you today to seek the Lord, and he will deliver.